Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rather than leaving the tiny salty pieces.
You would have wanted it this way.
So yeah, Geico. Contact your local agent and see how easy savings can be.
You know what rock chips are?
Oh, no.
A pain in your glass. Time to visit Eden Auto Glass and Window Tint of Memphis. Eden specializes in auto glass repair. So when you're in the garage and you chip yourself,
my windshield,
Eden Auto Glass and Window Tint will come fix it. Home or work with a lifetime installation warranty. Ask about Eden's window tint.
Sweet.
You bet your glass it is. Visit EdenAutoGlass.com today. Let us see your crack at Eden Auto Glass and Window Tint.
Since 2004, men choose Andro 400 for one reason. Results.
It has really worked. I've lost 35 pounds. It's just unbelievable. I never lost weight like that easily in my life.
Congratulations, Stephen, on losing 35 pounds. Now, listen to Leonard's results.
So when I went to my doctor, I was telling him about your product, Andro 400, and he said that it was okay for me to take it. So I started taking it. I just came back from the doctor yesterday. I'm down to 190 from 236, and he told me to continue to doing what I'm doing.
Outstanding, Leonard, losing 46 pounds. Guys, if achieving results like losing belly fat, gaining energy, and improving testosterone levels are what you're looking for, then get Andro 400. We guarantee the results. Start today and get free shipping. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Cappell here, serial entrepreneur. In 2016, one of my employees accidentally clicked through an online vendor's contract, which recommitted my company to an additional 12 months of their service. I called the vendor to explain the accident. Nope, they pointed to their ironclad contract, told me to pay or else. I will pay them, but after 12 months, I'm gone. I've been in business over 30 years, and I've never made my customers sign a long-term contract. Never. And now, my fifth successful company, Patriot Software, offers payroll to business owners with 1 to 100 employees, and there's no long-term contract. And if you need help with your payroll, we will help you for free. Go to PatriotSoftware.com, use promo code RADIO, and get 2 months of payroll free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
The calendar has flipped to 2021. The NFL playoffs are here. Tigers are in league play. Grizzlies season is underway. Lots of games to watch and enjoy. If you're like me, Gary Parrish, you might want to enjoy these things while enjoying a drink. And if you want to enjoy what I'm enjoying, try New Amsterdam Vodka. New Amsterdam Vodka, it is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. Filtered 3 times to create a soft finish, as I'm sure you know by now. So smooth you could drink it straight. And it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it's a quality vodka that is reasonably priced. And if you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. Lemon. Coconut. Watermelon is the newest flavor. Keep an eye out for that. Don't forget, New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you are on a gluten-free diet, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name next time you are in a bar or in a restaurant or in a liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web. NewAmsterdamSpirits.com.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're...
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Who that? Who that? Man, this what you been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating though, cause now I'm getting hot enough to with one and stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn. Then I redecorated, that mean my table. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? Who that? I got that flame. Who that? Who that? I got that flame. Who that? Who that? I got that flame. So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN, and boy, do we have plenty to get to today on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. A lot going on, including festivities down at FedEx Forum. All signs point to the game being on this afternoon. Grizzlies taking on the Phoenix Suns as a part of the Grizzlies MLK Jr. Day celebration. We'll certainly be talking about that all day long because they'll be doing it included with Ja Morant, who you saw come back against the Philadelphia 76ers. Grizzler absolutely rolling going into this game. So a lot there, a lot to break down, too, with the University of Memphis basketball team and where it's headed, its future, after another loss to Frank Haith and the Tulsa Golden Hurricane over the weekend. We will get to that. Plenty of disappointment surrounding that program right now. And news right there at the top of the hour. John, you see it?
Yes, Tennessee.
Coming out of Knoxville.
Tennessee is going to need a new football coach as they will be parting ways with Jeremy Pruitt. This is all according to Pete Dammel. And also, they will be reassessing Phil Fulmer's future there as the athletic director. So
I thought Gap Band was appropriate. I didn't know where else to go with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly bombs. It's a family bomb. There's no question
about it. It's a bomb.
So, what a day we are going to have here on the show. Lots to get to. We are going to take your calls. We're going to hand out respect burgers. We're going to be joined by Jason Fitz at 1:25. So that is the show today. Also, really quickly before we get to anything, do want to give a shout out to our Lord and Savior, Tom Brady, who is advancing to the championship game in his conference.
All
I believe
of a sudden, you are worshiping at his altar.
Oh, my goodness.
This is my NFC team, as you know.
Oh, I see.
This is my NFC team.
This was a late game, late season addition for
it
you.
It was. In fairness, you knew I was bullish on them when he joined them going back to pre-pandemic days.
True.
I was, because of that offense.
You did say they'd win the division. Didn't do that, but did get past the team that did.
Kind of the same thing, you know. I even give
a little
it to
off
me
on the details.
You can give it to me. But they are going to the NFC Championship game. I believe this is Tom Brady's 14th appearance.
It's unbelievable.
He is the profile of greatness. That is what he is. And it's a privilege to be able to watch him.
Good grief.
Every single
week. Need to be any thicker than that, John. Enough. We got too much to get to for you to be laying on this thick on Tom Brady.
Thank you.
Anyway, I could do an entire show.
He doesn't need it.
We could start in 2000, you know, in the early, late 90s when he's coming out of Michigan, but we will do that.
He's not Martin Luther King Jr., John.
Even Breeze's kids are bowing down.
You're right. He is not yet Martin Luther King Jr., but did you see he told Drew Brees' sons, be nice to your sister? I mean, the man is a real philanthropist.
He's a humanitarian,
so
of course.
We will get into that a little bit later in the show. I'm sure, to be quite honest with you, if they had their choice, Memphis fans would rather us talk about the greatness that is Tom Brady after what happened yesterday in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Unfortunately, there is no avoiding that.
Yeah, there's another bomb, exactly.
Drop this one, too. Yeah.
There is no getting around what happened yesterday in Tulsa after a three-week layoff. Memphis goes to Tulsa and loses the game 58-57. They drop to 6-5 on the year. They've lost two out of their last three. And let's be honest, it took a miraculous comeback for this not to be three losses in a row against South Florida.
Sure
they were down 12 with, you know, 6-7 minutes to go in that game. And here's where Memphis is. I mean, we talked about that UCF game before it had been postponed as a crossroads, and the same logic applied, right, to this Tulsa game because it represented a quad one opportunity. But I don't think we really need to talk about quad one opportunities anymore.
Nah.
I think that train has left the station.
feels foolish at this point. It wasn't just one loss, John, because you have to include it. It really became two yesterday, too, when you lose Artarial Morris, who you've got committed for 2022, top 30, top 50, certainly, player for 2022, and a guy who was originally from Memphis. You had him committed. You lose him after the game, and so I think you have to include that to get full perspective here of how disappointing a day it was for Memphis. Penny dropped to 1-4 against Frank Haith. And that's not to say he hasn't beat good coaches. Look, he's 3-1 versus Greg Marshall. Now, that'll end for now, obviously. Wichita State has moved on. 1-1 versus Rick Barnes. But clearly, Frank Haith has had his number. And maybe the saddest thing about yesterday was how predictable it all was. You know, Memphis there coming off this 19-20-day layoff, whatever it was, teams all over the country having to go through those, played a pretty decent first half offensively. Yeah. You could say they played a pretty decent 30 minutes offensively, but there at the end, last 10 minutes, last 6 minutes in particular, what we've seen all season long from this team, right? When it gets close or down the stretch, what happens? They fumble away possessions. They don't take good shots. And last night, yesterday, it's a season-high 21 turnovers. Against a Tulsa team that you, frankly, John, should have been prepared for. You turned it over 20 times against them in the first game.
Yep.
Imagine that.
Yep.
Imagine 41 turnovers in two games against Tulsa in this zone when, John, I would tell you, you've got more talent than Tulsa in both games. Tulsa scored 24 of its 58 points yesterday off Memphis's turnovers. It was what you gave them off that end. And here's the thing, this ain't new. You know, last year we wanted to pin it up to, oh, they're young, they're turning the ball over, one of the worst teams in the country in terms of turnover. This has been a characteristic of all three of Penny's teams. Even the first one with Jeremiah Martin, those guys turned the ball over 19% of their possessions. And it's only what it feels like got worse last season because you're young, but it's happening again. And again, I tell you, it was so predictable because down the stretch, that's what Memphis is doing, is looking like the team that not as well coached as the team it's facing, we'll put it that way, because when you're fumbling turnovers and throwing possessions away, that's inevitably what it looks like. When you're getting shots like the one Landers Nolly had there at the end, that's what it looks like. That's what they're going to say about you. And so that's the most frustrating part. It's exactly what we've seen over and over again offensively. You waste a pretty solid effort defensively because you're so generous, and frankly, the word should be reckless on the offensive end. It's sad because the saddest irony of it is Penny Hardaway was super smooth as the player in these situations, right? The point guard in these situations as the guy who had control of the ball. But as a coach, his teams are out of control when it comes to that. And in those clutch situations, usually they're the ones bobbling it.
Yep.
They're the exact opposite of what he offensively as what he was as a player, John, that smoothness that you associated with him. It just happens over and over again, and I'm sure Tiger fans are fed up at this point after what you saw again. So predictable to see it again.
I mean, consider this, that in this year, which coming into it, the Tigers were, I think, 26th. If you just went down the receiving votes, right? Memphis was tied for 26th in the AP poll entering this year. Boogie Ellis, Lester Quinones, DJ Jeffries, et cetera, all coming back as sophomores. Major minutes last year, poised to be major contributors. You add a top 10 player in the country. And I mean, that's what Musa Cisse was, a top 10 player in the country. The guy played 10 minutes yesterday. You add an impact transfer in Landers Nolly, who led an ACC team in scoring. And then you get eligible DeAndre Williams, who, again, 15-10 last year, helped beat Kentucky for Evansville last year. And there is a real chance that by the beginning of February, this team could be below 500. I want you guys to consider that for a moment. They're 6-5 today. Mm-hmm. They've got Wichita State on Thursday, who is better than you think. Certainly you can lose to Wichita State. Then you've got East Carolina on January 24th. That's going to be a dub. But then you play SMU back-to-back. Then you play UCF back-to-back. There is a real chance, if Memphis continues to play the way it is, they will be under 500 in year three. And that is simply unacceptable. In a year where you are bringing back, you have more – certainly now that Caleb Mills is gone, you have more talent than anybody in this league. I don't even think that's up for debate. I mean, you were picked to finish second.
Mm-hmm.
This is
not by media.
Yeah.
By the coaches.
Right.
who game plan against that talent.
And for it to be an absolute distinct possibility for you to be under 500 in February of year three is, quite frankly, nightmarish. And I guess what's even more of an indictment is that so you had this offense to start the year. You got your ass kicked in South Dakota. You change it. Okay, so you come back. You take the offense away from Cody Toppert, but you kind of don't take it away from Cody Toppert. You start getting your ass kicked. You say, okay, I'm going to totally go back to the basics. I'm going back to Lester middle school days, right? That's what Penny said. I'm going back to Lester school middle school days, and I'm going to put in the Lion. Well, your first game with the Lion offense was against South Florida, and you score 58 points, all right? Well, then you have 3 weeks off because you actually caught a little bit of a break because you had COVID postponements, which gives you more time in practice to install this offense and make sure everybody gets it. Everybody has a grasp of it. I don't think it's that complicated, given that it's a middle school offense, but you have 3 weeks to perfect it. And you come out and you score even fewer points than you did on the 29th against South Florida. You only mustered 57 points. This is not getting better. It's getting worse. And I don't know, and I don't even think it can get better from here on out. I think this team is at the point of no return. Is the program? That's up for debate. But I think this team is past the point of no return, because what you're going to have fester and manifest itself is, once again, people being disgruntled, guys not getting opportunities, shots not falling. I mean, this all is just, you throw it into a freaking pot, and it's a mess. Yesterday, Artario Morris decommits from Memphis. He's a four-star commitment that they have in the class of 2022.
Right.
A lot of people were excited about him. He said, I am no longer coming to Memphis. And I know that Memphis is going to have their side of the story, and I'm sure there are two sides to every story. But at the end of the day, it's you lose a top 50 player the day after you lose once again to Tulsa. Folks, this is going the wrong way. Can it be changed? Can it be fixed? Perhaps. But it is undeniably going the wrong way right now for Penny at Memphis.
Well, this is what I would say, too, in terms of – because you guys know I've said that you know, Penny's got so much of this – he's done so much right? And you want to focus on that, the defensive side. But this side is undoing the rest of it. How poorly they're playing is undoing the rest of it. And unfortunately, after a loss like yesterday – This is why I'm discouraged today, rather than feeling glass half full and there's some way out of this, is because what you saw after the game, in terms of the way Penny Hardaway addressed the loss and characterized it, it was more they continue to miss the shots. We're putting them in position. Let's hear it first, and then we'll break it down so you can hear it too.
Well, you got two zone teams. We played the same team two of those three. It was zone games, so we had no excuse against South Florida. But we're getting the looks, man. We talked about this the other day with Cody Toppert. They have a stat that talked about the projected numbers that you're supposed to make because of the percentage, the higher percentage shots that you get. And we're getting high, high, high percentage shots, more than anybody in the country. I think it's us and maybe Gonzaga or somebody that's really high. But we're not making the shots. Those other teams are. We got to make shots. Every time I look at the stat sheet, we're shooting poorly from the free throw line and we're shooting poorly from three. And none of these shots are even contested. So we got to be more conscious of understanding that we got to make our shooters have to make those shots. We just haven't made them. And this has been a problem all year.
Yeah. So that was Penny.
When you say that you're getting the second best shots in the country, essentially, and that the guy, it's putting the problem squarely on that of the players.
Well, you're basically saying my offense gets them the looks.
Not just that, my offense is perfect because it'd be the second best in the country behind Gonzaga, who's number one and looking unstoppable.
I don't know what you want me to do.
What in the world?
You got one in one box and you're trying to put yourself with them and you're nowhere close.
Yep.
But let me go back to my point, to the point of the quote. This is why I'm discouraged. It's because it's becoming they. It's becoming them, they're missing shots. We set them up, we give them everything, and they're missing it. Like towards the end of the game, they take the wrong option. Rather, should you call timeout, Penny? Should you pull them back in? That's the question to them. And it's, well, no, they had the shots, they just picked the wrong option. And here's the problem with that, right? College coaching comes back to we. That's the thing, is that these are not professionals. And we know Penny is used to dealing with high level from his playing days, but in college basketball, all these, we've made this point before, they've all got their faults. And so they're not perfect products. They're going to miss shots. And, John, if you continue to miss three-pointers and you continue to miss free throws, eventually that's what you are. They don't change tomorrow. They're not going to change against Wichita State on their own. That goes back to – that's why it's so tough to be a college coach.
Yep.
You're the one that's got to get DJ Jeffries out of this slump. DJ Jeffries didn't all of a sudden not become good enough. He's struggling. Clearly in his head, he's missing bunnies. It's on a college coach to get a talent like – to get him back.
Yep.
And we can sit here and put it on DJ, and Penny is giving – folks' excuse to do that when he continues to say them, they're missing the shots. We can sit here and put that on DJ, or we can put it on the college coach who chose him, right? Who said, I'm going to be there for you, not just when things are going well, but we're going to coach you through the ups and the downs. That's part of college coaching. It doesn't always go perfect. In fact, it usually doesn't. Usually the plan goes wrong. And it goes back to, John, because they're, what, 18 to 24-year-olds, I guess with DeAndre Williams, it goes back to them looking to their coach to put them in the right places to succeed. John, you can't have them keep running out there and shooting three-pointers from the corner if they're one of the worst three-point shooting teams we've seen. They get to the free throw line, they miss. That's what they are. Yep. That's not going to change on their own is my point. It's got to be not they. In college basketball, it's always we. And if there is a flaw in your program or with players' talents, that is on the coach who picked them, and it's on you to get those guys out of it. So that's discouraging to me that we're seeing a coach in his third year look around, he can't find any answers, and so he just points it at the players he recruited and saying, well, it's on them. They got to knock. It's on all of you all, and that's the part to me. On the court, I still see a team, and maybe it's coming off that layup. You can tell they were coaching this up. They're picking their guy up, right, late in the game, even struggling offensively. They run to go pick up the guy that's on the floor. That's fine. They're still together there. But it's going to be belief in Penny. Can you, with continue, you know, as predictable as you've been offensively, as bad, do you continue to have that belief in your coach? Artario Morris looked like a guy last night who stopped believing. And if you start losing that, that's when you can, this thing can really, you know, catch on fire and crash and burn. And so that's the discouraging part, is it's not us. Let's get it. It's them and the right. players. And that's, frankly, it's giving fans an excuse to lay this at the feet of the players that, look, frankly, you loved when they signed.
That's right.
But now they're not good enough.
These were all members of a number one recruiting class.
Woo!
Let's not forget that fact. And, yes, Precious and James helped. But DJ Jeffries was a top 30 kid. Lester Quinones was a top 50 kid. Boogie Ellis was a top 30 kid. Damian Ball was a high-ranked four-star. Now, he didn't play yesterday, but point remains. And I think to bottom line this, and we're going to take your – all of this is on Penny Hardaway because he is the coach, period, full stop. He is the coach. Therefore, when it's good, he gets the credit. When it's bad, he gets the credit. That's just the way it goes. He's responsible for every piece of this. He's responsible for the players he recruits. He's responsible for the lineups that he plays. So everything comes to Penny. All roads lead back to Penny. And the counter argument that some people are trying to use today as some sort of a escape route or cop out or whatever is, he just needs a point guard. Who is responsible for recruiting a point guard? If you don't have a point guard in your program right now,
right.
Why not?
Or for developing the ones you have.
I mean, there is no way to wiggle out of this. There is no – the onus – is completely on the shoulders of Penny Hardaway. And that's another piece. What you said about Penny's comments related to Gonzaga, and we give them the best offense known to man. They just can't make the shots. That also concerns me when it comes to the offseason, when he's going to be responsible for hiring staff members, multiple perhaps. Does that sound like someone to you who is going to,
who thinks he needs change?
Concede.
That's the point. That's, you know what I'm saying?
That, hey, yeah, maybe the way I was doing it wasn't working. Let me go out here. And everybody can say he wanted to hire Larry Brown. But let's also be clear about who Larry Brown was to Penny. Larry Brown was Penny's coach. He trusted Larry Brown. He knew Larry Brown. And it was still a sense of comfort for Penny Hardaway. Is he going to put himself in a situation where he may not be comfortable but knows he needs to do it? I don't think so. And until that changes to yes, I think this is where Memphis basketball is going to be.
Well, again, it may I may lose some with this, but when we just put Gonzaga in that comparison. But we were just talking about Nick Saban last week, and that was the point. Nick was willing to give up some control, and look how good it's been for him. And we've said it with Alex Lomax. Has Penny made him uncomfortable enough? Because we've said that's where you grow. And that's the thing right now, as John just said, Penny may have to get uncomfortable before we see growth. And we're sticking it mainly to that offensive end because that's what's got to be fixed. Again, you undo everything you do good, any and all, good you do defensively. Again, this is top 15 in the country defensively with what's happened on the offensive end. And so from that standpoint, again, whether it's his players, whether it's those outside the program, Penny has got to find a way to get belief and faith back in it. And if you could continue to have performances like this, whether it's your fans, whether it's your own players, whether it's the players you've got committed, they will lose that faith, John. You know what doesn't work, and you see struggling coaches go to this line all the time, is they hit them in practice. That's what you hear from coaches who are struggling and don't have answers, unfortunately.
Right.
You hear they hit everything in practice. We're giving it all to them. They're just not taking care of it. Again, I would tell you that's not a they situation. That is a we situation. And he's got to find the way through. You're right. Whether he's going to be able to be uncomfortable, right? Because I think that's what it's going to take ultimately. Cal had to give up some of that.
Yep.
You know, we've seen, again, it's not just coaches who are in their third year that kind of have to go through this learning process. The greats have. We talked about this, and it can be a good thing for you. I'm not sure with where Penny's head is at right now,
yep.
right, he's ready to accept that, to your point. Sounds like he thinks he's got the second best offense in the country.
Yep.
And frankly, those players are letting him down, and you can't. That doesn't work because you picked those players.
No doubt.
It's just as much your problem as it is theirs.
I mean,
and more
no
so yours because it goes on beyond this year.
Absolutely.
And now you've got guys dropping off at least one in 2022. And, you know, it's not a good sign in terms of faith in the program with where you're at right now.
So
performances like that don't help, particularly when you're 21 turnovers. It's what you've been doing all year.
So Memphis is going to miss the NCAA tournament once again, extending what has been one of the longest droughts in program history, unless there's a miracle, unless there's an absolute miracle. And I just, at this point, I don't think the buy-in is there. I don't see a team that's bought in. I see a team that feels like it's been jerked around offense after offense after offense. The rotations make very little sense. I don't see a team that's committed, that's going to be able to dig in enough to do what it takes to salvage this season. I don't see it.
I see a team that's, you know, probably got it right, you know, for half the game, and then just almost as if it believes it's going to screw it up, blows it down the stretch. That's what I see a team. That's what I'm saying. And it happens for an 8-9 minute period. I see a team that. You can see it for a while. Okay. Oh, that's why you got Landers Nolly. Okay, that's the player you thought Lester Quinones was going to be. Okay, Alex Lomax is a leader. But then toward the stretch, when you have to believe in yourself and sort of your culture, and that's what you lean back on and fall back on to win your close games, I see a team that believes it's going to blow it down the stretch and reacts that way.
Yep.
And it's bobbling of the ball and the shot selection down the stretch rather than believing we're coached up to get through this. That's what I see, a team that's wasting a pretty solid effort for half the game, 75% of the game, undoes it all with how discombobulated they get. And, John, they can't get out of it. It's like they believe this is going to happen to them. They know it's going to happen. They can't. It's like seeing the wreck beforehand but not being able to get yourself out of it. That's whatever you want to address that to, confidence, you know, IQ when it comes to basketball, that shot DeAndre Williams takes at the end, the going for the two-pointer rather than kicking it back out or trying to get three, you know, that all of that goes together, and they truly believe that's what they are now. That's the danger here,
yep.
is they believe they're going to screw it up. That's when you look to your college. That's when you look to your coach.
Yep.
And that's when you look to him to get you through this. And unfortunately, down the stretch, Penny's not calling timeouts. It's like we've said, sort of what it felt like to me, it's on y'all to get through this. We've given you everything. It can't be that way if you're going to get this fixed ultimately. Memphis does, you know, can do a lot of good for a good deal of the ball game, but they can undo it so quickly without, you know, how reckless they get and the lack of value in possessions, that kind of thing. It's a shame because of the talent that's out there. Should be better than this.
That absolutely goes without saying. I don't think we need to get into, there was no question that even as the product on the court right now is not good, firing Tubby Smith and hiring Penny at that very specific right. moment in time.
State that again. Yeah. That hasn't changed after a loss to Tulsa.
Those things are still true.
It was still the right move.
Now, I think when you chart out the next 5 years, is you got that injection. You got that injection of support and interest and donations and all that. But when the pandemic subsides and you can have fans back in the building as early as next season, right, how's that going to look? How is it going to still be the groundswell that he saw the first 2 years?
I think that is really the question. Is he still going to? Because I, you know, just going on my mentions, I see a fan base, and again, Twitter's not everything, but I see a fan base that is fed up. I see a fan base that right now does not necessarily believe or have faith in the direction of the program. So I think that is the most interesting thing, is when fans are allowed back into FedEx Forum, what will that look like for the Tigers? What will that look like for Penny?
Well, part of it's not just that. It's the fan faith is important, because ultimately that goes to the dollar bill and how healthy this thing can be from a financials. And we see it. If they lose the faith, well, that can lead to they're not going. It shows up. They turn out. In terms of tickets, they're not going to buy tickets. So it could ultimately – but fans, John, they stay engaged when you're, what, recruiting well. That's one of them.
That's true.
Now, you got to live up to expectations, but that's the point.
You
there's like
have
a string.
One or two.
But when you lose four stars after a one-point loss to Frank Haith in Tulsa again, well, then fans, their excitement level – hey, and now I'm losing play. My excitement level goes down. So you see how one can lead to the other.
He's unranked.
With all due respect, and I hear he's a pretty solid player. Yeah, nobody, you don't hear the rest of the country excited about.
I watched him again.
The
this is
get
not,
that Amar
this
Knox
is not
was
a
from
shot, but well, I watched him play against Houston, and I did not even realize they had a Memphis caliber player on the Bartlett roster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I watch a lot of basketball.
We'll see how good a player he is or is not. I can understand some frustration going on over there, though, in terms of who's been offered and who's not.
Right.
And people looking at where Amar Knox is.
Yep.
You know, again, we'll see when he gets here. But to that point, you lose a four-star who John is originally from Memphis. Let's be that part of it, too. This would be home for him in many ways. You lose that. That's what can lead to those fans, that and games like Sunday, lead to those fans not believing, and John, them not showing up when things open back up, and then you got a real problem on your hands. Because let's be real, y'all, the honeymoon's over.
Oh yeah.
Now, and especially you kind of hit the fast forward button when you recruit the way you do.
Yep.
Because unfortunately that flips. It's a double edged sword where now the expectations go up.
Well, because you can.
And unfortunately, you're not at this point. You are not meeting them
not
with
at all.
The level of talent. It's where Josh got to. Tubby didn't even get to that point because he didn't recruit to a level the fan base expected, but more so the program deserved. But to that point, now you're recruiting, and you got two guys in the NBA doing pretty well right now. You're recruiting at a level where fans want the results on the floor.
Absolutely.
So that's the problem you face now. You've got players who are starting to doubt in Arterio Morris. Hopefully, you've got to get that turned around. But unfortunately, you've been so predictably bad offensively that the faith's running out the door.
Well, and by the way, I mean, Penny said we played two zone teams the last three games. Penny certainly knows. He surely knows.
Zone all season long.
That every team the rest of the way is going to play his own defense against the Tigers, right?
He shot 26% from three.
Like, it's malpractice if you don't play zone against the Tigers with the way they shoot the ball.
Oh, you coaching have to. Malpractice. It's automatic.
Every team the rest of the way is going to come out in zone against the Tigers.
It's the book on how to defend Memphis. So, and frankly, it's just remain patient. They're going to blow it. I mean, that essentially – and how embarrassing is that when you've got that much talent on the floor? That's become it. They're going to give you opportunities with 21 turnovers that you as Tulsa – your best offense will be their turnovers, their recklessness on that end. It's a shame because you're also telling – man, we're in for a fight offensively. They're going to be all over us for most of the game. They're one of the best teams. But just wait. They'll blow it offensively, and it happened again on Sunday. Yep. It is a damn shame.
It is a shame. 535-3776-535-ESPN. How are you feeling about the Memphis Tigers today? Want to get your thoughts on all of this and more. Your calls when we come back. 535-3776-535-ESPN. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 FM, ESPN, is paying tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as we broadcast the 15th Annual National Civil Rights Legacy Game with the Memphis Grizzlies on MLK Monday. Pre-game at 3:30 p.m. with Jessica Benson, following the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. Tip at 4 p.m. with Eric Hasseltine. The MLK Game, Monday, Grizzlies versus Suns. Live shows on 92.9 all day till 3:30 p.m. Pre-game with Jessica Benson at 3:30. Tip at 4 p.m. on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Message and data rates may apply. Up to 5 messages a month. DNC and privacy policy found at warbyparker.com/terms. Reply help for help or stop to cancel.
Have you ever wondered why eyeglasses cost so much? Glasses have been around 700 years. Isn't technology supposed to get less expensive over time? Well, there's a simple explanation. For decades, the eyewear industry has been dominated by a single company that's kept prices artificially high while reaping huge profits.
Yikes!
Warby Parker was created to change that. They design and produce their own eyewear and then sell it directly to you for a fraction of the price. Warby Parker's high-quality glasses start at just $95, including your prescription. And if you need an updated prescription, they've got a few easy ways to help you get one. Just go to warbyparker.com to try 5 pairs of frames for free. They'll ship them to you to try out for 5 days. If you find a style you like, they'll send you a fresh pair with your prescription. Easy. Go to warbyparker.com to pick your 5 frames to try on at home for free. That's warbyparker.com to get started for free. Warbyparker.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. Dealing with battery problems? We can help you out and get you ready for the colder weather ahead. Let's start with a free battery test. If you just need a free charge, we can help with that too. And if it's time for a new battery, we've got replacement batteries that fit your needs, starting at just $79.99. That's what makes us America's number one battery destination. Claim based on data from the NPD Group 2019.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
If I'm not commuting anymore, where do I really want to live?
While you handle life's questions, Merrill Guided Investing helps you manage your portfolio and invest for your next move. With the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/investing goals to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
If you're very quiet, you can hear it. The joy, the freedom, the crunch from 100% whole grain oats. Stay outside longer with Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Granola Bars. We are better outside.
From shredding to printing, the UPS store does every ing for small business. And this holiday, when the other guys are closing, we're doing another ing altogether, opening. So while we're busy notarizing and copying, consulting and mailboxing, packing and shipping, well, they're not really doing much of any ing. Opening this holiday, the UPS store. Every ing for small business, all in one place.
The UPS store.
The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours may vary. See center for details.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin, with all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
Pruitt got fired over at Tennessee. We'll get into that, what it can mean for Tennessee. I think we suspected this, but he's been fired with cause, according to the Knoxville News Sentinel.
We're looking for the reason.
They ain't got to pay that man a damn dime.
Beautiful.
How come we couldn't have fired Tubby for cause?
He was doing okay.
We couldn't pin something on him. No, we couldn't frame him for
no
something.
No NCAA stuff.
Yeah, you're right. We would never have to worry about an investigation
was
under
too
Tubby.
Too clean. Knew that when you hired.
No NCAA stuff.
That's why he's getting $3.5 million a year for the next however many years. All right, 535-3776-535 ESPN. How are you feeling about Memphis basketball? Taking your calls now after the loss to Tulsa yesterday. Let's kick things off with Dennis. Dennis in Whitehaven, you're on.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Dennis, go ahead.
Hey, man, look. Hey, guys, y'all doing all right?
Dennis, what's going on, brother?
Oh, you got it, man. Yeah, I'm a little Tiger Blue. Anytime the guys lose, I'm going to be blue, man. I got a couple quick points to run down to you guys. I know people on the phone, but first, John, man, I played ball with you. I guarantee if you shot 10 threes, I'm give you a respect burger, man. You would hit at least 6 of them.
I bet you'll hit at least six of them.
What I'm saying? And I'm just being honest, man. I'm just being honest. And John, you said earlier about your stats, man. And my point is, I don't like the substitution. Now, what he's doing with the rotation, it is insane. That's kind of what happened to Josh when these rotations changed every game. But, John, you said some things, man, that I would like you guys to explain to me. How is this on the coach? First of all, like you said, 40-some turnovers in 2 times. That's 41. Not Penny throwing a full-court pass and hitting the bottom of the rim, man. That's not Penny missing an air ball at a free throw line or getting a lane violation. I mean, I just don't know how you could put this on this man. And players have to make shots. They do. It's basketball. That's why I brought up John. It's basketball. You have to make shots, man. You know, I'm not saying he's doing everything perfect, But this guy, let's remember this, people, he can take his stuff and leave. This guy's a millionaire. He don't have to do this. This is nothing that he has to do, man. I'm frustrated just like everybody else. But let's just hold on, man. Just hold on. Let's just be patient. If we had been patient with Josh, I was telling a friend of mine this other night, we were patient with Josh. What's Josh doing? I mean, he's in ACC.
Well, I would say this, Dennis, and I appreciate the call, and I appreciate the love on the jump shot. It's nice to know that it is still appreciated out there. I would say on Josh, the key distinction and the reason why Josh got as long as he did was because he was absolutely, A, killing it in recruiting, and B, let's not forget, he was going 16-0 in Conference USA.
Well, he made four straight tournaments.
Yeah, John. I mean,
get to the next weekend. At least he was making the tournament.
It wasn't the results that everybody wanted. It wasn't the best case scenario, and I think people got frustrated with how often they would just get bounced in the first round. But objectively, Josh's first 3-4 years were far and away more successful than Penny's right now, and that's why Josh got 7-8 years. That's just the bottom line. And then you want to talk about the shots and the air balls and the missed free throws. At the end of the day, it all comes back to Penny, because who's supposed to be the one who takes accountability for having 3 or 4 different offenses 10 games into a season, 11 games into a season? I mean, I don't really know what you can reasonably expect. These are 4- and 5-star players, and these were rated by gentlemen now who a lot of them are in the NBA working for professional teams. So let's not sit here and act like these guys who are scouting just are they're 3 blind mice. They don't know what the hell they're looking at.
Unfortunately, this has become – and I appreciate the call. I thought he made some great points. But the turnovers have become characteristic of Penny's teams over 3 seasons. Again, 262nd. In turnovers his first season, 338th last season, 259th this season. So this isn't a one-year thing. It's not a one-game thing. It's not just a Tulsa thing. This is your program over 3 seasons thing. And so what do you do? If that's a requirement of if you need to tighten up as a coach, or maybe it's too much freedom, either way, I'm not going to tell you how to solve it. Basketball coaches do that. I'm not a basketball coach. But clearly you have an issue. This has become characteristic of your teams, not just this one.
That's right.
And that's on the head coach.
That's exactly right. 535-3776-535-ESPN. We go to David. David, you're on.
How y'all doing?
What's up, brother?
Pretty good. The problem's simple. For 3 years, he hadn't had a point guard. And they still don't have a point guard. You can't get into your offense without a point guard. We don't have one.
It's on Penny to find one.
Absolutely. There you go. It's on. But I hadn't gave up on him. I still think he's going to do it. And we like I'm like Dennis. We got to have a little patience. And they got to play zone.
They don't have. I will say that they don't have a point guard in 2021.
Yeah,
their recruiting class is Camden, who's a wing, Nesbitt, who's a wing, and Sam Anu. They will. It's not like there will be a point guard unless they get it on the grad transfer route coming in next season.
Yeah, but what I noticed in the game yesterday, mm-hmm. from halftime to the end, Tulsa only shot one shot from the outside. They drive by our guards every time. Then our big men have to foul and get some in foul trouble. And that's the problem. We got to play more zone.
David, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 535-3776-535-ESPN. All due respect, I don't think the problem is the defense. I think the amount of points that you've scored over the last, 11 games pretty much tell you what the – I mean, that's the problem. It's like when the offense was clearly anemic and needed work, it was let's double down on defense. No need for that. You've mm-hmm. got defense licked. Let's get to the offense. Jawa!
What's up, my guys? What's up? This weekend I watched college basketball just to see what was wrong with the Tigers. Sometimes you got to look at film, and I'm like, y'all, man. So, like, every team was more smoother. The ball was getting passed well. I was like, man. So I watched the Tiger game. Everything was cool until what Jason said. That 5-minute mark. Oh. So that Tulsa got that 2-minute, that 2-point lead.
Over.
You could feel the momentum. I don't know, from 5 minutes until the end of the game, we just choke. It's from that 5-minute mark. You can watch all the games. If any team is up on us when it's late, we start turning over the ball, people throwing it into the fans. What y'all think it is? Why are we choking at that 5-minute mark? We don't have a clutch player to give it to, go one-on-one as a point guard. What y'all think?
Yeah, I appreciate the call.
That can be a lot of it. You know, having that sort of senior leader, junior leader. I think we thought Alex Lomax would be sort of that guy. certainly by this year, that could at least a calming influence. Not a guy that's going to break his guy down and go score, but be that calming influence at the end of the games, and you haven't had that. And unfortunately, what you've got now, Jawa points it out, you've got a team that believes down the stretch it's going to blow it. Like no matter, and once that seeps in, right, that sort of we're going to blow this. We don't have the we don't know who to look to. Our coach ain't calling timeout. That's when it gets as predictable and as ugly as it's gotten. And again, it undoes all the good you've done. Because again, I tell you, they came out of that break clearly together. They're picking up the guy off the ground. You can tell they've been coached that for a while. They're running some pretty good offense. Got Nolly some good shots there in the first half. What happens in the second half? It's yep. like we know if it gets yep. close game, yep. we'll get down the stretch and it's going to get ugly. And that's unfortunately got a team that can't. They see it coming, but they can't find a way to avoid it.
That's right.
The meltdown.
535-3776-535 ESPN. We go to Landers in Cordova. Landers, you're on.
Hey, guys. First of all, I just want to say how I marvel at how quickly you all have turned on Penny Hardaway. And I just heard Jason say something that I never would have thought I'd hear him say. But anyway, I agree with the first caller. You can't put the ball in the hole for these guys. And if you look at some of these turnovers, it's not something you can coach, really. What? You know, and, you know, to be honest, I think y'all are just, hypocrites, I'm telling you. You know, the way you were so high on this man in the beginning, and now you're trashing. Hey, I tell you, y'all need to go back and read some of Leanne Vince's articles when she was covering the Tigers. And you will maybe get a sense of how a hometown media should cover a hometown team.
Yeah.
And especially
I think we're being very fair. I think we're being very fair, Len. We have a sample size. We have a sample size of three seasons now that we are all watching. We are all watching the same thing. When Penny got the job, we had no sample size. We now have three. We're assessing based on those three. I don't understand how you can look at this and believe that it is going well. Do you have eyesight, Len? You sound like an older gentleman. Does your eye well. Do your eyes work?
And then another mistake y'all are making is that the talent level. Anybody can look and see these guys were overestimated or whatever you want to call it. You know, the talent level is simply not there. So, and that's another thing.
It sounds like you're putting this all on
appreciate
everybody
call,
except
brother.
Penny. I mean, that's the problem.
The media,
it's everybody else's fault.
The media didn't overestimate the talent. The coaches in the league believed Penny had the second-best team, at least in the conference, brother. And that's the thing is, like, we can all – I don't know what he meant by how do you cover a hometown coach like Len Zinser did. Because I'll tell you this, whether it's Dokic nationally will say we're apologists for Penny – or in this case, another brother says you're a hypocrite and should be rooting for him. We get it from all sides. That's
right.
Fine.
We truly do.
What is clear is there ain't a problem in the media with covering Penny. There's a problem on the floor when you're losing to a Tulsa team that's got less talent than y'all. And you can keep coming in here and moving the goalposts on the players and the talent level if you want to, but the media didn't pick Memphis second in the AAC. The coaches did, and it's the coaches who coach against those players. So that would tell you that Memphis ain't playing to expectations, not ours. They're their own coaches, Penny's peers in the league. So I don't get where he's coming from with that.
Daniel, you're on.
Yeah, James, what's happening? Y'all good?
What's up, brother?
Sir.
Yeah, I think we got to – if we going to do the we thing, John, then we as a city have to all be together too. Like, we all were transactionalists when we got rid of Tubby because it's hurtful that you bring up the business of basketball. We know how unfair the business of college sports is. So to bring up the business part of it is very hurtful, especially during the midst of racial reckoning and wealth disparity and things like that. However, we did choose Penny, and he did make a transactional move when he recruited the way he recruited. There is a good point guard. He just can't shoot. So, yes, in the last 5 minutes, we're just going to make Alex be the point guard that he isn't at with the offensive side, and then from there you get what you get, and that needs to be addressed. But if you can't bring up any basketball realities and the things that Tubby was doing on the floor, then please don't do it. Don't do the business part and not give credit to the basketball side. And we have to be patient with Penny like we should have been with Tubby. And if you don't do right by this as a city, everybody, you at that radio station talking about business and talent, it's not college football. You need talent in football because you have to have the fastest and biggest players getting to the point the
fastest. Basketball isn't that. Tubby would have forced us to deal with the basketball realities, and you don't mention that. You just mention the business. And now we have to go through it, and if we don't go through it and rectify it because of the basketball guys and the bad fortune that we put on this program, then we're going to continue to deal with it. So be honest. If we're in it together, then we're in it. This city, because everybody was involved with getting Tubby out of here, and it was wrong, and the basketball guys are proving it. Be patient with Penny, and let's see what happens, because basketball, they don't give up on him. They don't give up on him, and that's all you need. He can get through it, too.
Dale, appreciate the call.
Tubby was making $3 million a year. He's one of the highest-paid coaches, not in the AAC, in the country. That was it's literally math. They couldn't afford to pay him with what they were getting in return from fans who had decided, this ain't the coach we want to listen to.
Yep.
It was literally, that's your financial issue there. You aren't paying. You're getting a deal from what Penny's concerned. So that patience and what you're willing to put up with and what you're not, there was less patience with Tubby because you were paying him like one of the top 15 coaches in the country.
That's right.
Okay? And if you're going to operate like that, you got to be getting a return at the ticket office.
Well, and let's be clear about this.
And that stopped. The fans decided that.
Memphis did not necessarily hire Penny because they thought he was going to be some amazing coach. They thought that possibility existed. Right when he took the job, but it was mainly
based on the talent he could lure.
That's a good point, John.
I mean, they couldn't have known. No, I mean,
they had to get the business and the whole thing going.
It was a total swing for the fences move. It was really their only move because they were bleeding money the way they were, and he was the one guy. Memphis could have, and I was arguing with some guy about this yesterday. Memphis could have gone out. I don't know if they could have gotten Steve Forbes. Maybe they could have. Maybe they couldn't have. But somebody like that, right? Who was you know, established, who can win, but maybe it might take a couple years, and certainly would not have brought the immediate influx of cash in. They could have done that. But there was never going to be anybody who could put butts back in seats as quickly as Penny did, who could get the number one recruiting class at Memphis, which had never been done. I mean, these things undeniably happened. They still happen, and they're a part of the Penny Hardaway era. But those times are over. And now you're talking about, okay, you got the influx of cash, you got what you were looking for, but are you going to get the basketball and the on-court success? Because that's ultimately what will define the hire. And so it was all about business. Let's make this clear. But the business has been taken care of, and now it's about, are you going to get the basketball success as well? Mike, you're on.
Well, I know Lance Thomas needs to take the midnight train to Georgia. He's just a turnover machine in there and takes some bad shots. But the guys right about zone, you guys, they're a pick-and-roll team, Tulsa. They were 3 out of 9 when we were playing zone in the first half. And they want to play man-to-man because they're going to do it pick and roll, and that's what they did in the second half. They just pick and roll us now. Defensive statistics says we got a real good defense, but if you're fouling a lot and sending them to the free throw line and then not getting an offensive rebound, that's a little bit misleading. I was disappointed when Penny, we were playing good, suddenly he makes this mass almost change for no reason. We didn't have anybody in free, problems, and all of a sudden Lance is coming in, Boogie's coming. I mean, there wasn't any reason.
Hey, Mike, appreciate the call. I mean, this feels a little bit like back in the day where people would always say, I wish this team would press more. I wish this Memphis basketball team would press more. Who gives a damn? They scored 57 points! It's not about zone deep. What are we watching here? Are we watching the same sport?
Yeah, like, do we score or what? I mean, like, yeah, no, it's a really good point.
If Memphis can, honestly,
put the ball in the hole.
If Memphis can score 70 points, I will streak in my Germantown neighborhood.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's not about defense.
So
they're
true.
Fine. They're elite defensively. They're top 10 in the country or ish in defense. Mm-hmm. It is not about, does this team play man? Does this team play zone? I don't care about that. They're fine defensively. Fix the offense. What are we talking about? Melvin, you're on.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Melvin?
Again, same thing. What happened at the end of the South Florida game? He said he tightened the rotation up. He gonna do that. They've been out 21 days. What happened? 10 players played in the first half, 10 players played in the second half. I mean, you can't make this up. It's so frustrating. I argue with fans on Twitter about it. I mean, Leonard Nolan had 13 in the first half, right? Second half, DJ turnover, Williams turnover. What'd he do? Malcolm Danz is in first. Boogie Ellis is in second. Landon Nolly in 5 or 6 minutes late. Like, what? The guy's the only player that's scoring. He didn't score nothing in the second half. He couldn't get a rhythm. Jaden Holloway played good. I mean, like yesterday, the best player should have been Lomax, Lester, Jaden, Landon Nolly, Malcolm Danz. But Penny never played a guy that's playing the best. It's like
Well, I can't take a guy out now because he won't get his stats or he think I don't believe in him. No, you got to play to win the game. No, you got DJ. I mean, I love DJ. I think the offense is the problem. Don't get me wrong. Ever since Williams got in, like the first game Williams came in, he came off the bench. We had spark. Everything was good. What Penny do? First game, the second game we get home, I got to put him in the lineup. I got to put DJ. DJ is not a two. DJ scored 6 points or less, I think, in every game since he changed the lineup. I mean, he's not a two guard, so he's out of position. Man, I mean, the team was already struggling then. That happened. Then he changed the lineup in offense. I said, man, this is going to go south. And I knew it. I knew it was going to go south. They can't even score 60 points.
Yeah. To your point about DJ, he's gone from 16 versus Auburn, 18 versus Tulane, to 6-6-5 the last three games.
I mean, it's not rocket science.
And that coincides with DeAndre Williams being in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and look, I'm not saying DeAndre the problem, right?
Right. Okay. It's just how you use these guys.
It's a constant shifting and changing of guys. They can't get into their role.
Like Musa, for example. I mean, what is happening with Musa? I think he's better than what we've seen from him, but I think a lot of that is because I don't know that they know how to use him.
Yeah, but the lineup was good. You had Ba, who don't want to shoot the ball, Musa, who don't want to shoot the ball. That's your two defensive players, right? You had Lester, DJ, and Leonard. Those are your scores. They had hit their scribe in the two-line game, 16, 16, and 20. You finally hit those scribes. Now you got Weezy to come out the bench. But, you know, you want to go with these fantasy lineups.
Let me
put him at the two and put. No, that doesn't work, Penny. Now he changed the lineup again. I mean, he changed the lineup every three games. I know y'all got some more people, man. It's so frustrating, but it is all up. And we all love Penny. We're not
exactly.
Giving up
that's
on
the other part. It's like we're all pulling.
I mean, he hasn't did anything that works. Cody Topper's offense was averaging 70-some points. He took the offense. This is all on Penny. People got to realize that. I mean, we can criticize him.
That's right. That's the job. Melvin, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. I mean, and again.
Thank you, Melvin.
Penny does not have to do this, right? We all understand that. He did it because he loves the university and loves this city. But what comes with that job, whether you do it for because it's your passion or you do it because this is your industry, it comes with criticism. That's the way it goes. And nobody is above that. And Penny is certainly not. John, you're on.
Hey, Jason and John.
Hey, John.
Hey, my biggest problem is fundamentals, man. They don't know how to block out, rebound, shoot, dribble, stop and pop. They can't do any of this, man. It's fundamentals, if you ask me.
Hey, John, thanks for the call. I mean,
taking care of the ball is certainly fundamental.
I think if you watch other college basketball programs,
free throw shooting's fundamental.
You'll get frustrated pretty quickly with when you see, you know, top teams with your, let's just say, commensurate with your talent, right?
Right.
The way they can run an offense, the fluidity with which an offense is run. You watch. I mean, just pick a team with Memphis. It's kind of talent. I mean, you're talking about top 20 teams now. I mean, that's the truth. That's the kind of talent Memphis has. You'll get frustrated. You want to pull your hair out. You're like, why does it look so difficult at Memphis? And that's why we're having these conversations. Kevin, you're on.
Listen, man, it's real simple. Penny has talked up and got a job he just wasn't ready for. It's period. We saw that with President Trump. He got a job, man, he's not ready for. He's going to have to man in the mirror, Michael Jackson, and he's going to have to get some people in there that has done this before, that want to do the style that he want to do, and listen to them. That's the only way he's going to get better. So the thing is, none of our players are developing. None of them.
It's true.
When we look back at Coach Cal, we saw what players got better.
Yep, every year.
Antonio Burks got better.
Yep.
CDR, we didn't know who he was, really. But once he got to be a senior, man, he was killing it.
Yep.
None of these players are getting better.
I would say Precious got better last year, but with guards in particular, none of them have improved.
Precious was forced to get better.
Well. You give them right. You can say it's all on Precious. You can give the staff. I would say if anybody got better, Precious did. But to your point, they didn't have a choice. He had to be used in all those positions.
But when we look at our team, man, we don't.
That's a guard development, though.
We're not even. We thinking about Penny Hardaway as Penny Hardaway because you got to think about it. At one point, Penny Hardaway was our NBA franchise. We love Penny.
100%.
Now take away that and
let's just think. We just hired a high school coach.
Well,
at a big program like Memphis, you take away that. Because you got to think, well, he coached on a high school level. Man, he had the best talent in the city.
He's got the best talent in the American right now. I mean, he's doing the same things he did in high school. He's getting all the best talent. That ain't the problem.
But let's be honest, man. That's up for debate.
I'm saying when we look at
AAU basketball, man, they ranking these kids seven. This kid, they talking about the number one prospect in the country. I saw Memphis looking for him. I think he's like on the class of 23. I'm looking at this kid, man. Come on.
Yeah. Kevin, appreciate the call. We got some other ones we got to get to. I appreciate it. I mean, the one thing I lose a lot of interest in is when you start talking about these kids were overrated. Everybody is by the same system.
He started it, though. What we agree with, it's going to take a look in the mirror.
100%.
Like, we can go back and forth on whether Penny was ready or not, but what can happen is you can put the right people around Penny with the ability to recruit like they've got, and this thing be a success, more of a success than it is right now. So his starting point was, I thought he was dead on. That's what it's going to take.
Yep, we're going to go on in. We're going to go on into hour two with your calls, 535-3776-535-ESPN. We go to Zach. Zach, you're on.
Hey, guys. I just want to say, watching this team, it's very, very heartbreaking. It upsets me very much. Love this city, love this team, and it's kind of like what you said earlier, John.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.